Good morning, everyone. Today's English scripture reading is going to be from Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. If you'd like to turn to that, if you don't have your Bible, Pew Bible 787. So Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. Ready? On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed with their face to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Here ends the reading of God's word.
I want us to be honest for a minute. Actually, be honest all the time, but I want you to be honest just for a minute. All the singing, dressing up, the excitement, all the talk, Christos Hariavi Merelots, Ortnyale Haruchina Christosi, all of this, it's a little insane, isn't it? I mean, honestly, we're talking about someone who died. Have you ever seen someone who's dead? And if you've never seen someone who's dead, have you ever seen an animal dead? Well, thinking about the crucifixion, maybe we should be thinking about an animal on the side of the road that's dead. Okay, are you repulsed sufficiently? See, it made no sense. And even today, 2,000 years later, does it make any sense? Does it make any sense to say that someone died and came back to life? Have you ever seen that happen? I'm not talking about resuscitation. You know, maybe you've seen that on TV. Maybe you've even been a part of reviving someone. We've got some ER docs here. Maybe they've actually seen someone. Okay, they're back. But we're talking about someone who's dead. And it really, frankly, it doesn't make sense. But when Luke writes to Theophilus, the person he writes this book to, he says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." It's one thing to research all that Jesus did and said. That's great. It's one thing to say he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. But when it comes to rising from the dead, now maybe Theophilus would have been a little bit encouraged. Okay, well, at least it's a doctor writing this book for us. Luke was a doctor. So maybe his medical knowledge would help him a little bit. But they had seen him. Think about the disciples. They had seen him. They'd seen him heal. They'd seen him multiply fish. They kept going back and forth feeding bread and fish. They'd seen him cast out demons. They'd seen him welcome non-religious people with open arms saying, God loves and welcomes you. They'd seen all of this. They'd seen him, they'd actually seen him walk on water. Okay, they'd heard him teach. They'd heard him claim things, saying, I'm the Son of God. Saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Saying that I am the way of eternal life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's said all these things. They've heard all these outlandish things, and they've seen him on the cross, and they've heard him say, amidst all the mockery, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They've seen and heard all these things from Jesus, and I mean, how could it make any sense? They'd gotten to know God through him, and then the last word that he said on the cross, that at least the women, the other disciples seem to have been far away, but the women were close by, they actually heard him utter the words, it is finished. It's over. It's done. And we don't know what they are thinking or what they thought when they heard that, but from my perspective, when I read the Bible, I think, if I heard, it's finished, I would have thought, it's finished. It's over. My life is over. You see, no one expected it. Joseph of Arimathea, as Bodvili preached last week, provided a tomb. It was a cave, and it had not been used by anybody else, so he got permission from Pilate. They got the body into the grave just before Passover started, and Passover would have started right there on Friday night, just about sundown. And the women, they were starting to get the spices ready, but they had to stop because Sabbath started, and everybody went, but at least they got the body in the tomb. The Romans sealed it because they were afraid that something might happen. There was this rumor that he was going to come back, and they wanted to make sure that that didn't happen. So the women had prepared the spices, and they were going to honor Jesus one last time. They thought they could get into the tomb and just honor him one last time. So early in the morning, on the first day of the week, very early, we're talking crack of dawn. Crack of dawn. They take the spices they've prepared and they've gone to the tomb. They did not expect a resurrection. Okay, can you say that with me? They did not expect a resurrection. Because what had they heard? It's finished. It's over. It's been a great 3 years. We've gotten to know God better through him, but you know what? He even said, it's finished. It's over. So they're going to finish the burial so they can roll the stone back and they'll be done with it. But when they get to the tomb, they find the stone is already rolled away. And what do you think they thought? Maybe Joseph arranged for this. Joseph knew we didn't get a chance to prepare the body for a proper permanent burial, so he had the workers come by and roll it back. He knew we couldn't do that. God, thanks, Joseph. You're such a nice guy. You not only gave the tomb, you got it all set for us. But then when they entered, they did not find the body. Have you ever had that moment where the blood rushes from your head? You feel like your adrenaline goes crazy because you just don't know what's going on. They enter the tomb, and it's not there. say it with me, they did not expect a resurrection. They did not expect it. They're looking, and what do you have? Everything they've seen, everything they had seen did not prepare them for an empty tomb. And so while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Okay, if their heart rate wasn't already high enough. Clothes that gleamed like lightning. One translation says, not while they were wondering, but while they were perplexed, suddenly two men in clothes that were dazzling like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. See, what they saw throughout the end of Jesus' life made them forget what they had heard him say. See, it made them forget what he had said. Their faces are on the ground, not just because it's bright. They could have turned away or covered their faces. They're down on their faces because they know this is not just two men. We hear later in verse 23 of this chapter that it's angels. See, it's people who come from the presence of God that have clothes that glow. Remember Moses? He came off the mountain. What happened? His face was glowing. He had to cover his face so that the people would be willing to look at him. So these angels show up from the presence of God. Their clothes are dazzling. The women bow before them, and these angels say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" He was betrayed by Judas. Peter denied him. He had a rotten trial. He was beaten. We saw him crucified. We saw him taken down. We saw him put in the tomb. Could you repeat your question, please? Why are you looking? Because he's not alive. Don't you get it, dazzling creatures? He died. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. And I can imagine, maybe they weren't cynics, or maybe they were just too distraught to come up with smart answers. But I can imagine someone, he's not, we know, it's empty. That's why we're standing here puzzled. And this is these three words, he has risen. What? He's, say that one more time, please. He's risen? No, we got up at the crack of dawn. You could say we have risen this morning, and we've brought the spices. Say that one more. He is risen? He's risen from the dead. You've met people who say outlandish things, right? When they say something and you sort of want to back away, and then run. Their faces were on the ground. They look up. He's not here. He is risen. Well, there's some evidence there. I mean, he's not there. But listen to what they say to try to persuade them. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Now, if you go back and read the times that Jesus said it, and he said it three times, the first one happened right after Peter said, "You are the Christ." And then he tells them that he is going to die. He is going to be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. On the third day, he'll be raised to life. And I love how Luke says it. They didn't understand what he said. It's easy to forget something that you don't understand, isn't it? Someone says to me an expression in Armenian that I don't quite get. I come back home and I say, so I think they said that. Well, she goes, well, what did they say? I didn't understand it. Well, I know, but what did they say? I didn't understand it, so I don't remember it. See, what they saw made them forget what he had said, and what they saw and what the angel said made them remember. Do you remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered up over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. See, what they saw and what they said, what the angel said, made them remember. It wasn't the empty tomb that convinced them that Jesus had risen from the dead. What was it? It was his word. It was his prophecy. He had told them he was going to do it. They didn't get it at the time, but as they're in an empty tomb, wait a minute. Jesus said it would be like this. And so they do what anyone really would do. They run. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the disciples, to the apostles. Okay, these are the guys. These are the 11. Judas is gone. There's 11 of them there, which is pretty exciting because who's still with them? Who's still with them even after his consummate failure? Peter is still there. I mean, think about that for a moment. Peter, the one who denied him, who wept bitterly in shame because Jesus had told him it would be like this, and he said, no, I'll die for you, and he denied him. But Peter is still there. The community still has Peter with them. I think we probably have some Peters in the room today, don't we? You've walked away from Jesus at some point, and you're wondering if you're still welcome. You even wondered when you came this morning, what kind of faces am I going to see when people see me? Peter is with them. He's one of the 11. And can you imagine their joy? Can you imagine the excitement? The women come and say, the tomb is empty. Angels came to us. They told us, remember what he said back in Galilee? I mean, can you imagine their joy? Can you imagine their faith? You'd have to imagine it because it wasn't real. They were not excited. They were not overjoyed. How does it say it? But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. I don't think you have to be a woman to know what this feels like. Remember when you try to tell someone something and they give you that look like, you're crazy, it's not like that. No, it didn't happen like that. We remember, you're stupid, you don't know anything. Well, what's difficult about this and what's actually quite compelling when you think about how the Christian faith started, it is women. It's women who bear testimony to Jesus' resurrection. Again, resurrection is insane. It has never happened before. And who does God reveal himself to? Who does he tell this message? To women. Now, you need to understand something. The testimony of women was not acceptable in a court of law. It was not acceptable. And so if this really didn't take place, Luke is really killing his case to provide Theophilus with certainty to his faith. He has got inadmissible evidence as the key announcement for the resurrection. It seemed to them like nonsense. And actually, this expression, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament. The other times we see this word, it's actually the description that's used when someone has like a fever and they babble on incessantly, making no sense. That's what the women seemed like to those stud apostles. They're just babbling. See, no one believed them. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not even sure if they believe it. They've experienced this, but they've heard the angels. There's a tomb that's empty. And they may simply be repeating. Just, you guys need to know what happened. We're not drawing any conclusions, but you need to know what happened. This is, we just saw this. But no one believed it. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Peter got up and ran to the tomb. What's going through his mind? It's one thing to be accepted in the community. It's one thing to be welcomed and still be part of the gang, even though he had failed miserably. He hears the women babbling. Could it be? I mean, the last time he said something and I didn't believe it, I felt like a fool. The last time he said something that I didn't believe was when he told me that I would deny him. 3 times he said I would deny. I said no. The last time he said something and I didn't believe it, I was wrong. Oh my. Could it be? Could it be that when Jesus says something, it happens the way he says it? Could it be that, well, yeah, he was rejected by the chief priests. Okay. And he was crucified. Oh my. Could it be that the third part is going to come true too? Peter gets up and he runs. Now, it's funny because if you read the Gospel of John, I don't know what his deal is, but John tells us that he outran Peter. But anyway, he stood at the door. But Peter, maybe fishermen didn't, you know, train for whatever. Anyway, so Peter runs to the tomb. He bends down and he sees the strips of linen lying by themselves. If you stole the body, you'd just take it. Who wants to hold a decaying corpse? Would you steal? Would you unwrap a dead body and take it away? Oh, this will be really convincing. We'll take this dead. You would not leave the grave clothes. Decomposing. Peter sees the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. What has happened? See, Peter knew the last time he didn't listen to Jesus, he got in trouble. He's walking away, and these are baby steps. I actually still don't think he believes what's going on. But as he walks away from the tomb, he doesn't get any dazzling angels showing up to say, oh, let me make this clear for you. All he has is Jesus' words. Jesus says, on the third day, I will be raised. See, Peter that day, that morning, is the same as us this morning. You and I will never see the empty tomb, and I know if you've been to Israel, sorry to burst your bubble. That's probably not the real empty tomb. Looks really neat, and I really urge you to go. But it may not be the one, and if it is, it certainly doesn't have all the candles and everything else that's around it now. Even the garden tomb, those are examples of tombs. We will never see the empty tomb. We will not have angels show up and ask us, what are you even doing here? He's alive. We have the very thing that Peter had. The word of Jesus saying, on the third day, I will arise. I will be raised to life on the third day. So 2,000 years later, we're no worse off than the original disciples. This first day, they look and he's not there. He's wondering what happened. And let me tell you, if you believe in the resurrection, it's not because you've seen an empty tomb. It's not because of angels. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's because of his word. It's because of his word. And if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, do what Peter did. Go look at the evidence. Try to come up with a better explanation of an empty tomb than resurrection. Really, did the disciples steal it? Did they steal the body and then go on to preach that he was raised from the dead and go on to die as martyrs for a lie? Does that sound reasonable to you? That's a little bit more off, I think. Maybe the Jews or the Romans, they got a hold of the body, and again, maybe they left the grave clothes there. I don't know. It wouldn't make a lot of sense. But maybe they did, and they took the body, and then they hid it so no one could ever see it. How's that? Does that one work for you? That only works for you if you're into denial. Because if the Jews or the Romans had the body, they would have walked around Jerusalem parading it, saying, in case you missed it on Friday, here's the Son of God. Here's the King of the Jews. They probably would have had a drum beating. Come see the King of the Jews. Here he is. That smell, yeah, he's dead. See, nothing makes sense apart from Jesus' words. His word, his promise, I will be raised to life, is what we believe. And so today I urge you, if you believe in the resurrection, give God glory that he keeps his word. Praise him because he keeps his word. If you don't, you're fully welcome, not just today, any day. Look at his words. Start reading the scripture and say, well, wait a minute, if this is true, if indeed what Jesus says is true, then everything begins to make sense. But nothing, absolutely nothing makes sense apart from Jesus' words. Absolutely nothing. Let me pray. Jesus, you are risen. Thank you for conquering death. Thank you for making the same response available to us as for the first apostles. And I'm sure, Lord, there are people here that don't believe it, just like the original guys did not believe it. But you are patient, you are gracious, and you keep revealing yourself more and more. And I pray, Lord, in these next weeks, we're going to see how you revealed yourself to the apostles and others. And I pray that there will be many here who also would experience you revealing yourself to them in ways that you've never done before. We praise you today. Amen.